Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? You know, I was doing some math the other day. This last week on the 19th was the 14th anniversary of my ordination to the diaconate. So for 14 years, I have been in ordained ministry. But 11 years before that, I was, as I said, I was doing this math. And I realized that just after Easter, 25 years ago, I came to the Episcopal Church. So I've served this church, both as a lay person and as one who has been ordained in ministry. Both have had their challenges and both are filled with great joy. When I first came to the Episcopal Church, I had been basically, I don't know, unchurched, I guess, might be the word. I had really stopped going to church from about the time I was 18. So I spent about 10 years somewhere wavering between being an agnostic and being an atheist. Until I had this overwhelming desire that I needed something more. Something was speaking within me. And of course, I was an undergraduate at the time, and like most college students, I decided to try and dabble into other spiritual practices. Until a good friend and professor of mine, David Sinclair, if I remember right, the B was for Bedford, who, when I was talking to him about my spiritual seeking, he asked me one day if I ever thought about trying church. And I, of course, told him that I left church years ago. Come on in. And he said, well, you're seeking everything else. Try a different church than the one you were brought up with. And so I had been to the Episcopal Church a couple times before in my life, once for a funeral, and another time in my early 20s when of all things, I got an invitation to go to the Eucharist the next day at a kegger a friend of mine and I were throwing. And so my first experience of a regular Sunday Mass, let's say I wasn't really fit. Yet there was something planted there. So when I started thinking about maybe what B. David Sinclair said was right, that I should try church. And I lived across the street and down a block from an Episcopal church. And I thought, well, I kind of liked it that one time I went, and I went. Well, actually, it took me almost a month and a half to get there, because I'd get up. Sometimes I'd get dressed. Sometimes I'd get across the street, and there was a couple times I even got to the door and I went back home. And then finally one Sunday, it was probably just right after Easter, you know, sort of like you do in the middle of the summer or that first time in the pool, where you can either just step in slowly or just dive. And I took a dive and I went straight through, went right past the greeters, and I think they were trying to say hello or shake my hand. I just kind of grabbed the bulletin on my way. Found a pew, put my head down and kneeled. And you know, the great thing about the Episcopal Church, when your head's down and you're kneeling, people just leave you alone. But that day I found myself suddenly feeling the true presence of Christ. And ever since that time, that feeling has been with me. And I love the Episcopal Church because of that. But I also love the Episcopal Church because we are a church that is constantly trying to grow and trying to push our boundaries. My very first time in my very first service, I was surprised, not so much seeing the two middle-aged old white men up front, but also realizing that there was two women on the altar, another priest and a deacon. Later on, we had the midst of the Bishop Ryder trial, which a openly gay man was ordained to the priesthood. And all these times the church has struggled and we fought and stuff over it. And realizing that, what is the baptismal covenant calling us to? What is Christ calling us to? What is the good news telling us to do? And it's not to be afraid. To think first with love. To think first with openness. In our readings today, we had the disciples taking Jesus across the water. Jesus is napping. A storm kicks up. And though the boat is being tossed around, water is being splashed into the boat, Jesus keeps on sleeping. And the disciples panic and they finally yell at Jesus, "Don't you care?" And Jesus asks them, and Jesus just wakes up and looks at the water, you know, "Be still." And he asks them, "Why are you afraid?" And whenever great change happens in the church, every once in a while having to ask ourselves, why are we so afraid? This church, this building on St. Andrew's Day this fall will be celebrating 165 years. Now, it's a pleasure to have so many members of the Historical Society and the Weeks family with us. And I think it's easy sometimes to think of this building only in historical terms. And it has a lot of history to it. But make no mistake, this is a living, breathing community. This is a church that not only has served the community continuously for 165 years, but continues to do so and has no plans on stopping anytime soon. It is a church that has seen many ministers, both laity and ordained, in which many people have been baptized, wed, confirmed, buried out of. But more importantly, it has brought many, many people to Christ. And that's more important than any history. That's a bigger testimony than the fact that this building's been standing this long. Is that you continue to do what it is that God is calling you to do. To work through the fear, to reluctantly at times embrace change, to occasionally try something new, while at the same time celebrating who we have been, we don't always do a great job. Sometimes we fail, we fumble, but we always try to learn. We try to open our hearts to the Spirit, to see where God is leading us. Now, as many of you know, today is my last Eucharist here. I've been called to be the new interim rector at St. Thomas of Canterbury in Smithtown. which is both, you know, I have to say, is sort of this bittersweetness, because I have to admit that I am very excited. You know, I mean, the weird oddity of being just one place on a Sunday is kind of nice. To have my house 3 miles from the church, and actually to have a nearly full-time church administrator. Yet that means on the bitter side of leaving the people of St. Andrews Mastic Beach, where I'm finishing up my fourth year of my 3-year contract. And it's been very much a joy to be your vicar. But I leave knowing that this church will continue in its ministry, that as it starts figuring out what it is that the Spirit is calling them, you all, to do next, that you will open your hearts, sometimes reluctantly, but that you will open your hearts and move forward. In the Episcopal Church, we believe that God isn't finished speaking to us yet. And taking a cue from our Jewish brothers and sisters, we believe that creation is still happening now, and that we are all part of that. So my brothers, my sisters, my siblings, embrace your past. Celebrate your history. But move forward. Blaze new territories. Be the church you are. Be the light in people's darkness. The joy in the midst of sadness. The arms of comfort when there is hurt. Continue to feed people, both spiritually and physically. Please know that I will be praying for you. It's been a blessing to be your vicar. And I want you all to remember, in my first sermon, I had one basic message, and that is that you belong. And that message continues, you all belong. But remember, so does everyone else. And I'm counting on everyone here to keep these doors open, but most important, to keep your hearts and your arms open.